My dear faithful, when we see a loved one dying, we seek to receive from him some heirloom or a token of affection by which to remember him on earth. As he prepares to enter into eternity, we want to have something from him to hold on to and to treasure while we remain in this valley of tears. Sometimes, all we have to hold on to are his words. The last words, then, of a dying man are most solemn, and often they carry great wisdom and an important lesson for us. If our father, our best friend, or relative were on his deathbed, we would pay close attention to his last words. On this Good Friday, we are present at the deathbed, so to speak, of our Savior. Let us then draw closer to him to better hear his seven last words, so that we may learn from him and take as an heirloom his last instructions to us. As St. Augustine says, this is not only his deathbed, but the pulpit of his last instructions to his devoted children. Let us draw closer to him as we see him suffering. Compassionate the Sacred Heart. To compassionate is to suffer with someone. It is to pity and show sympathy. Let us then look on our Lord crucified. He is stretched on the cross. Large, rough nails have pierced his hands, hammered through the nerves in his wrists, sending shooting pains through his whole body. His sacred feet, too, were pierced through and are fastened to the cross. The entire surface of his body, which had been made sensitive and tender by his bloody sweat, was covered with wounds from the scourging and is smeared with dry blood, dust, and spittle from the way of the cross. Our Savior still bears his crown of thorns, which penetrated deep into his sacred head. He struggles to breathe on the cross, for he can only expand his lungs by pushing down on the nails in his feet and in his hands. In order to speak, he must renew his horrible pains. Each of his words on the cross, then, require more strength, more pain, and they are more deliberate when he says them. Thus our Lord begins his last words on the cross. Looking up to heaven, our Lord says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the divine Son made man, appealing to God the Father for forgiveness for us. He came to earth in order to redeem us. And yet, men persist to insult, mock, scourge, and crucify him. Some years ago, Bishop Kelly told a story about a young prince, the only son of a great king. The king loved his son above all things, and the son loved his father. In this particular kingdom, there was a loathsome creature who committed a capital crime. He was arrested and sentenced to death. The king's son heard about this and went to court. The son, the prince, appealed to the judge. He pleaded for the life of this criminal who is worthy of death. The judge said, "I can't just let him go. He has to be punished for this crime, Someone has to be punished. Justice must be served for this crime. And so the prince offered his life for this criminal who had been sentenced to death. And he went through with it. The executioners brutally put the prince to death, whereas the real criminal was let free. After the death of the prince, the king felt the loss of his son. So, to fill the void, the king then welcomed the criminal into his own house as his own son. If you were that criminal, you would think very highly of the son of the king who had such compassion on you, who went out of his way to help you and gave his life in place of yours. In return, you would love the prince. You would want to do whatever you could to show your gratitude to that son. And you would do whatever you could to please the king. More exalted than any prince on earth, God the Son, who is innocence itself, became a man who would have pain, who would suffer, and would voluntarily lay down his life, all because he had compassion for us, who were sentenced to death. God the Son took upon himself our sentence of death. We are the guilty ones who committed the crimes of sin and who deserve the punishment for them. Our Lord was not obliged to take our crimes, our sins, upon himself and to suffer every indignity possible because of them, but he did. He suffered an agony, was scourged, crowned with thorns. He carried the heavy, splintering cross on his back and was nailed to it on Calvary. And he did this even though we had hurt him. We are the ones that put our Lord on the cross. Nevertheless, he begs forgiveness for us. This scene ought to touch our heart, not only with gratitude, but also with compassion, with remorse and resolution. Our loving Savior suffered twice on account of our sins. Once when he was nailed to the cross to redeem us, and also each time we reject his laws and offend his sacred heart by sinning. How we ought to strive to avoid all sin, to save our Lord from any more pain being inflicted upon him, and to make reparation to his most sacred heart. By his first word then on the cross, he teaches us the whole reason why he became a man, to save us. We are given a hint of the infinite mercy, compassion, and love he bears us. Let us be moved to have compassion on him in return, and to save him from any more pain we inflict on him by sin. Thus, the first word with which this dying man wants to leave us is the word of compassion. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.